Check, 1, 2, check, 1, 2, and we are live. So.
Bucks game.
Bucks game. Bucks.
So they lost, huh?
They did lose. Let me pull up the score. Have you watched any of it?
I watched them the other night when they announced Rogers' big minority ownership speech he had there.
Big minority owner, big time.
Pretty big deal for the state of Wisconsin, I'd say.
I would say, I don't really know. I haven't really read a whole lot about it, honestly. I know he's like the first one to do it, but like, how big of a deal is it, per se? I mean,
right.
A rich dude buys into a professional sports team.
Well, it's cool. This is what I was talking about with my buddy. I was like, so this dude buys into it. How much do you think the team's worth? They bought it. The current ownership team bought it in 2014 for like $600 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that plus the new stadium, it's going to be worth close to $1 billion. I would probably think.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, sports teams now too are, you know, kind of inflated price wise.
Very true. That's a question for the old sports economics professor.
What, Adam Hoffer? Yeah.
Mr. Hoffer.
Learned so much.
Professor Hoffer.
Dr. Hoff.
I don't know. I was telling my buddy, I said, well, I think that having Rodgers come in to the Bucks will bring more interest from Wisconsinites in general.
I think there's no dissent for me on that one. I agree.
Because I told him, I said, well, I'm not a huge NBA fan by any means. This is the first like full Bucks game I've watched all year. And now that I know Aaron Rodgers is now, you know, part owner, I'm kind of interested in see what he's gonna do. So
yeah. See if there's anything. I think for me too, it solidifies his like want to be in Wisconsin, which is like, come on, Packers, like let's not screw this up. Like this guy wants to be here.
For sure.
So
well, he's gonna get paid no matter what, but I think his contract option is gonna be a lot different than Mr. the neighbor here over in my neck of the woods.
I have no idea. Oh, Kirk Cousins.
What's his name? Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised because he hasn't signed an extension yet, right?
Aaron?
Yeah.
No, he hasn't. I guess it's going to be right up until the start of the season. They'll probably have something figured out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was thinking he'd sign shortly thereafter after Kirk got his big deal because it was kind of rumored that that's what he was holding out for. I don't know if it was confirmed or not. I don't know.
So. Well, I don't think he has to worry about Kirk Cousins being better than Mr. Rogers.
I don't either. But the Bucks, they lost.
Anytime soon.
They lost 92-87. I only watched like the second half. They shot terribly. They shot 9-33 from 3 and 32-87 from the field, which is 37%, which is awful. So, but the Celtics shot 42% from the field and 32 from three. So, I mean, it was just a bad shooting game all around for both teams. So, I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's not going to win you too many ball games.
No. My friend was that I watched it with, he was saying, he's like, oh, the refs or the announcers start saying at the end of the game, like, oh, this is a defensive battle, but honestly, it's just like a bloodbath because they don't call anything. It's like, I hate how the playoffs are officiated. They don't tighten it up. They like just get it more loose. It's like you're just playing a whole different game. It's hard to adjust, in my opinion. But I guess the best teams adjust, you can make an argument for. So
I'd have to agree. Or you just have the dominant team, and you're never doing the adjusting. The other team's always doing
right.
The adjusting.
Or you just like kind of been playing more that way all year, and just fits your play style a little better. But I don't get why you'd play 82 games one way and then switch it to be the other. So, I don't know. I don't write the rules.
They don't pay me the big bucks to figure that out, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm not getting paid the ref salary or whatever. or Adam Silver money. I don't know how much that guy makes.
I don't know. Mr. Silver?
Yeah.
I bet you he's taking showers in a nice shower at night. A smooth 20 mil a year.
Yeah, that's a bit. I could do that. He went to Duke, though. Like, he's not an idiot.
No. All right, well.
Seems to be doing good things.
Did Roger Goodell go to...
I don't know. Where did Roger Goodell go to school? Probably, like... I want to say, like, an out east school, just for... Just because that just seems like what he would do.
Yeah. He made 31.7.
Oh, he makes so much money.
Plus, what do you think about so he just got an options contract renewal for if the NFL hits a certain amount of views or something like that by 2020, he gets like $100 million bonus or something like that.
Really?
Let's look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a businessman. I don't know where he went to. Where do you go to college? He suspended a ton of people.
Oh, wow. I just saw a $200 million payday.
Yeah, that was like something rather. How do you get commissioner of the NFL? Oh, like, what?
He probably played in the NBA or played in the NFL.
Washington and Jefferson College.
Didn't play in the NFL.
No. Washington and... What is it called? Washington and Jefferson. And Jefferson College. Pennsylvania, I was right. Pittsburgh. Huh. Well, I don't know about anything about that school, but I'm sure it's just fine. Clearly, he learned something. Learned maybe a little bit more than me. So.
Oh, wow. He was an administrative intern at the league office in New York.
Nice.
So he started low. He started low and worked himself up. He's a...
It's a fine young chap.
Yeah, that's all it is, right? So you just gotta grind, and then you hope to have the
just grind away. That's what they tell us. Climb that corporate ladder, baby.
In hopes of the one spot, right?
Yeah, that nobody else is fighting for.
Right.
Nobody else.
That's what you're supposed. That's what they're not supposed to tell you.
Nobody else wants to be commissioner of the NFL. Tell you that.
No.
Not a single person.
More than likely not. Markets were down today, huh?
Yeah, 425, right? I saw. At one point, where'd they end up?
I just know it was down a whole bunch.
I need to really start preparing for these a little bit more. I did read the LinkedIn thing you sent me. Well, I'd like a little talking point here and there. Where's Yahoo? Yahoo Finance. There it is.
Market
summary. Oh, down. I don't care. Sure, I'll sign my soul away. Yeah, down 1.34%. That's pretty big.
Yeah, it's decent.
Wait, that's the S&P. There's the Dow. 1.74.
That was
1.7, yeah. Yeah, 424.56. I did my little headline tagging today. Wow, it tanked. What happened? What's driving it, do you think? That's bad.
Well, supposedly from my, I have a counterpart at that I work with.
Yeah.
He guaranteed me that within a year we're going to be in a recession. And I said, well, I understand we're probably headed for a correction at some point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, earnings have not been that bad.
No.
I think it's inflation that's going to get out of everybody before, I don't know, everything's overvalued.
You think
things are at value?
You think things are currently at value?
For the most part.
For the most part, yeah.
I mean, I'm just kind of looking at a few.
Well, see, you say correction. I stumbled upon on accident. I downloaded a New York Times podcast in like February, and it was like coming on my. It was just playing while I was working, and I was like, oh, the market's headed towards a correction. I was like, oh, wow, haven't been hearing anything, but it was in February. So I'm like looking at the chart in February, and it tanked in February. So it's like, if there's a correction, I mean, I guess it's actually about where it was at in February, around there. So, I mean, it was so high in, what day is this? Like early January, 126. Dang, this is kind of intuitive on Yahoo Finance. Fucking looking at the graph. Yeah, 126, it was at 26,616. Wow. I remember like 2 years ago in my internship when it like dropped down under 17,000, I think, and everyone was freaking out. Now it's at 24,000. I know it's just the like top 30 charts, but that's still like, there's still something to be said about it, you know?
Well, since we were talking about correction, I was like, well, what even is a correction? What do you define a correction as in the stock market?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, is it going back to the norm? So we expect to get at least 10% on our stock investments. So last year, what, the market, S&P 500, returned a little over 20%.
Wow.
And so,
wish I wasn't in college.
If you're talking about a correction, you got to have a 10% decrease. Decrease or negative movement to correct back to the mean. So it makes sense.
So are you saying, if I understand this correctly, so we'd have to like lose 10% for a whole year about? Or is that just, in general, anytime 10% more or less a correction?
Well, no. So.
Okay.
So last year went up 20%, right?
Yep.
So this year, if there was no gain,
we would have
averaged over the 2 years is still 10%.
I see.
You can't expect to get 20% every single year.
Correct.
See, you would expect a 10% correction back to, because if you have a year of,
oh, that makes more sense. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I just am looking at Yahoo right now. Treasury yields touch 3%. Why a global stock market crash is coming. Every time this sucker drops, there's a crash! There's a crash! It's coming! It's coming! Sell!
Everybody's afraid.
Who cares?
Everybody's afraid of 2007, 2008.
Who cares? I mean, as long as we don't have 2007, 2008s all the time, like, I'm okay with that. Like,
but I mean, I guess it just goes to show you the power of ourselves and what we make of nothing, pretty much, and it can create a large mess.
Well, do you think, like, I don't know, I think, like, just, yeah, I'm just looking at the one stock I put too much money in the one time. Thought that was dumb. That was so stupid. Hey, you got to get burned to learn.
That's right.
I just wonder how much the media drives some of these, like, these crazes, these frenzies or whatever, you know?
Well, it's all about views, right? I mean, if you had a decent, or, you know, if you had a chunk of money in the stock market.
Yeah.
And you were scrolling through your Facebook feed, and you see that, oh, we're headed for a stock market crash?
Yep.
Click on it. The average uninformed individual is going to look at it and not know exactly what's going on inside of the article.
Yeah.
And you can persuade them to do anything, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is why I talk with people about this all the time. People are like, well, I think financial advisors are going to go away. There's not going to be a need for them. Well, prime example right there.
Yeah, exactly.
People don't know. I don't know.
No, I mean, I agree with you.
Here to save you 20% this past year. If you thought that the market was going to go down, you'd have any money in the stock market. You'd have paid 1% on 20.
Yeah.
That you made over the past year.
Yep. I think, like, for financial advisors, yeah, I think overall it's kind of a crock of shit, just because, like, whatever, it's just so hard to beat the market. But it's like, as long as your financial advisor is, like, honest, and, like, I guess you could take, like, a little bit of a hit, but why would you necessarily? But it's like, a lot of people don't know at all. Like, a lot of people don't even know what index funds are. So it's like, Christ, if you're just paying a financial advisor to invest in index funds, who cares? Like, A, at least you're investing, and B, like, I don't know, hopefully you can trust this person and, like, you know, maybe diversify a little bit or
right.
use the right... That's
probably more what it is, right? The trust aspect.
Yeah, and the trust.
This person's adding value to the relationship somehow.
Yeah.
Versus just the...
Yeah, it's... I tell people, like, you should get a financial advisor if that's not what you deal with, because it's like, they're going to know where your money is. That's their full-time job. Yeah, granted, you're not their only client, but it's like, hey, you give them a call. They'll probably check out your accounts, let you know how you're doing, like, whatever. And, like, they can help you with different investment vehicles, like a Roth or just a regular IRA or... a trust fund or a college fund, like, what is that, a 403B or something? I don't know. That might just be the teacher's.
No,
that's the teacher's one.
Yeah, that's the teacher's one.
What's
five something? Yeah. 503B? No, that's not it either.
I don't know. I'm just throwing out terms, flexing knowledge here.
It's a 500.
Keywords. These idiots don't know what they're talking about.
I think also the financial advisors are fail-safe for when you... So let's say, Nick, you have $500,000 in the market, and you see a headline like you mentioned before that there's a market crash coming. You call your advisor up. You say, "Hey Jim, the market's gonna crash. What do you think? Should I sell off? Should I get out?
Mm-hmm.
Just be all in cash right now?"
Oh, I'm all in cash.
Jim tells you, Nick, don't look at your phone anymore.
Yeah.
Looking at your phone.
That's what I'm saying. It helps disassociate, like, hey, I don't have control over it. Like, obviously, you do have the final say, because otherwise it'd be a little illegal, but it's like, yeah, you have that one person that, like you said, is a fail-safe. Like, I want to sound like, are you crazy?
Right.
So at least you have that, like, layer of whatever, disassociation or what have you. So,
do you have this where you work? Because you work in finance.
Yeah.
Do you have it that people that went to school for finance and they work in finance, but they really don't know anything about personal finance or their personal finance views or just the investing, the personal investing side of things, is totally flawed?
I don't really have it that much, because I work with, like, more. I don't know. Some people are accountants, and, like, some are studying for, like, their CFA I guess it doesn't really ever come up with work, but like definitely just talking to people, I think generally they have a more simplistic view, like just talking to like Ben. He's like, oh, I feel like I could like day trade. It's like, oh shit. Apparently spacebar just ends the call. Just ends it.
Good to know.
That just happened. I was like messing around on my keyboard and it hit spacebar and ends the call. Okay, but what I was saying was like just talking to people in general, they just think like finance like isn't that hard, like you can just invest on Robinhood and like do this and beat the market, no problem. It's like,
oh wow.
Like, yeah, if it was that easy, I think we'd all be doing it. So,
right.
Which, I mean, if you know what you're doing, I guess you can make an argument that, hey, like, Warren Buffett's done it, and, like, several people have, but they have different means, and, like, I just think they're more skilled in, like, money disassociation, and generally just have more money, so, I mean...
I mean, I'd probably be pretty dissociated, too, if I didn't need to worry about looking at it.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think people think, like, investing is easier than it is, technically.
But I think it's more, like, so when you say investing, do you mean throwing it into an index fund? Or do you mean finding a stock that's undervalued? And knowing that you have the possibility of capturing that value, and once you capture the value, you exit and look for the next one.
I don't think any normal person even would understand that sentence. Like, at all. So, I think when I talk investing, people just think like, hey, buying stocks... That's it. I just go buy a stock because it's fairly affordable. And, like, I know the company and I read a couple articles on Yahoo Finance and the Wall Street Journal and I buy it. Like, even if you're wrong on, like, valuing, I just don't think the general population understands the valuation of a stock. And especially, like you said, capturing the value and getting out, nobody in their right mind is going to do that as a general person. Like, that's where the disassociation of the money and, like, the stock, you know, like, I buy this, here's where I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it, and if it goes up, tough luck. If it goes down, well, I'm glad I listened to my morals or whatever, you know? I don't think the general population invests like that.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, I just find that, too. Like, you just talk with people. I don't know, you talk with people that have worked in finance for years, and it's just, they've never, I don't know, there's options inside of a 401k, and that's all you do is you just dump money in there.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what's going in there, and then the whole thing about, like, trying to limit your costs. And when you limit your costs, you have more money at the end of the month to do things with, whether that be investing or, you know, spending on experiences and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That just seems to be foreign for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I just find it interesting.
It's more so...
I think a lot of people... Go ahead.
No, I just think it's sad. Because, like, it is just, it's pretty important. I don't think you should tie your whole life to money, but I think you should be smart about it. And, like, do some investing. I guess only dumping it into the 401k is better than, like, nothing, but that's, like, right. Where the whole looping around financial advisor comes in. He could be like, yo, like, you're doing great on your 401k, but have you thought about, like, having a college fund for your child? Have you thought about a rainy day fund, like you said, or something like... hey, here's this. We could just throw this in, like, a money market fund for a year. And, like, it's better than your bank account, but, yeah.
For sure, yeah. I just figured out how to make your voice louder on my
computer
screen.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
we're getting there. This one might be
25 minutes in, and we've finally figured it out.
Yeah.
No, I think we're doing pretty good for the first one. I just, there's a guy that I listened to quite a bit, and I shot with him in college, and he just started a podcast as well. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit more well known in the archery world. It's Archery Focus podcast too. So
yeah, that's what.
Yeah, he just started one, and I don't think I think we're on par with maybe the same level of podcast as his. So
that's good. You know, I want to keep doing this. Like we said, like. I think Tim Ferriss said, like, we got to at least commit to say six. Like, let's right. commit. Let's do it. If it sucks, we're not having fun. We're too busy. Whatever. We'll figure it out when we get there. But we should at least commit to a handful of them.
For sure. Like you said, the first six are going to be really shitty.
They're just going to suck. They're going to suck.
One might have a little bit more structure.
I'm going to say too many F words. I'm going to talk some mad shit. Somebody's going to, like, call me out. Like, one of my friends will be like, yo, what are you even talking about?
I'm just talking about Aaron Rodgers bringing some value to the Bucks. It's all
right. Yeah, and then we sell him. When he's used his value, we sell him on the free market. Funny, because that's how the freaking sports works.
That's right.
For the most part.
I don't know how you even, like... Are they selling shares of the Bucks organization? Can I just roll up and be like, hey?
Oh shit!
What are you guys going for nowadays?
Can I buy half of Giannis's jersey?
That'd be interesting, right? Was it? Is it like a Green Bay Packer?
Yeah, right. Like $200.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's funny. But oh,
goodness.
What are your, where are you at on, where's your like little cryptocurrency? How's that looking?
Yeah. So, small plug for helium.com. Their algorithm, is supposed to be getting an upgrade here. And so I feel bad for this guy. So Pace is his name. He's the CEO of Helium, and he's got a Facebook group, and all of the people that have money in this thing, like, have access to this guy.
Yeah.
Well, since the crypto market took a huge hit.
Oh, yeah, big dollars.
We're talking 80% value loss. This guy's just been hammered with all sorts of crap, which, you know... It is what it is. He knew he made some mistakes, whatever. But at the same time, like, don't put your money in it if you can't lose it, right?
Like, yeah.
He knew better.
So how are you doing?
Like you said, nothing to learn you more than losing a little bit. But, no, so recently everybody's money has been in Bitcoin Gold, which is an absolute terrible coin. But... Better knock on some wood here. Like, in the past few weeks, it's been up, like, over 100%, so it's gained back some value. But I read something. So your investment lost 80%, but you have to make back, like, 400-some% to even get back to what it was at.
Oh, God.
So there's a little, you know, math problem for you. You don't need to make 80% back. You need to make 400-some% back.
How does that work? Who's writing that? I need to do that. Can I be on the selling end of all that?
Right?
Let me short.
That's how their stuff's written, though. They don't make any money unless their customers make money, so.
So you're not doing too hot is what you're saying.
Well, I'm back pretty much even. I haven't really lost much on it. That's good. I'm not taking it out for a while.
That's good. You gotta, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword.
That's what it is.
Like you said, I mean, I don't think everyone, I said live by the sword, die by the sword. I don't think everyone should invest with the mentality of like, well, if I can't afford to lose it, like blah, blah, blah. I think it goes back to like being smart. Like you said, like, hey, I'm going to throw a grand into this or $2,000, $5,000, $20,000, $30,000, whatever somebody can lose. And you got to disassociate and say, this is A, a learning experience, B, like sheer luck, maybe. I know there's like not, crypto's not entirely luck, but an argument could be made that we don't know what the hell's going on there, but that's besides the point and something I'm not super educated on, so I don't want to talk too far on that.
Market manipulation in general is just so much more prevalent in
Bitcoin,
crypto space. Yeah.
So just
because you have like all these coins coming out.
Yep.
Every other day, and you have these large people who can buy and sell large sums, because it's not a, you know, the volume is nowhere near like the stock market.
And like we said earlier, how much does the media play in this? Hey, look at this hot new coin. Well, then you get dummy Tommy down the street who's like, oh, I have an extra grand. Blah, gone. It's like, well, you idiot. You didn't even look at the thing. You read freaking fake news about, like, whatever. Like, freaking me in my apartment could write an article and, like, this is so great. Because there's one article out there.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking Tommy. Idiot.
I just couldn't get over some of the people that went out and, like, took out mortgages on their houses and bought in at Bitcoin when it was at 20,000.
You just don't do that.
Yeah.
That's just stupid.
Yeah. And how they say how Bitcoin ruined their life. It's not Bitcoin's fault.
It's your fault.
You're in no position to kind of make that move. I love how... So I read quite a bit on... So, a little background on Bitcoin. So, the creator of Bitcoin is still, like, unknown.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name, but it's, like...
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
Something crazy. So, but, anyways, I guess the guy supposedly, like, is on Reddit every once in a while. And he'll, like, post something. And so, like, I pay attention to the Reddit post a little bit. Just because I think there's a lot of value in...
opinions.
Yeah, you know, just like we said before, like the media plays such a... Somebody's telling somebody what to put an article out about, or it's just a persuasive article all the time.
Yep. Well,
I think there's a lot of value in, like, just free space. Go out and write what you think. And, you know, your idea might be a good idea.
Yeah.
And so I like to read a lot of that. And I just love reading all this stuff about... People are like, don't sell out of crypto unless it's going to change your life. And they were saying this all back in December when it was at its highest. And then this huge correction, right?
Yeah.
This huge correction happened. And now they're just like, yeah, just recover something and get out as fast as you can. Which isn't the case, right? Because you technically didn't lose any coins. You just lost value. Value. So if you're a long game player, you know, some might say like the internet in the early 90s, if you're a long game player, you know, you'll be just fine. I'm sure you will be, because it's going to be a thing that, eventually.
You don't think the long game's over though? Because I mean, Bitcoin's been around since when, like 2000 yada? I don't remember. Late 2000s, early 2010s.
Yeah. You gotta remember, though, the point of
blockchain,
the point of Bitcoin is to be decentralized.
Yep.
Some cryptocurrencies are decentralized, some are not.
Okay.
What is the U.S. dollar, it's centralized.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So one person, we talked about Fed rates earlier, you know, federal rates earlier.
Yep.
All that centralized, somebody has power over what the value of that's going to, you know, essentially do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have that decentralized, the free market can determine what it's worth.
Yeah.
And so I think there's just a lot of power, just like, you know, renewable energy versus oil. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, fiat currency versus, you know, these central banks against developers, I guess, on a lot of the crypto currencies.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't read enough, and kind of what I did with the whole Bitcoin is, like, I just prematurely disassociated. I was like, I'm just going to watch. You know, I'm not going to invest. Because, I mean, I was paying attention to it. It was at, like, 2,000, then 3,000, then 4, over week, and then it was, like, 5, and then 8, and then it was, like, 10, and then, like, 13, and then 17, and then it was, like, 20, and I'm like, oh, my God. But now we're sitting here talking about how it lost, and I was like, and I'm not going to sit on my high horse, and this is what I did from the beginning. I just said I'm going to watch it. Now I'm just like, I'm kind of glad I didn't, but, like, you know, it just depends. It depends on how you invest. Like we said, it's like, you know, if you set, like, hey, I bought in at 4,000, I'm going to sell at 7. You need to do that. Or if it goes down, I'm going to sell at 2,000 or whatever. And just get out. Like, this is the max I can afford to lose or whatever.
Which is
really so it's been I fun mean, to watch.
Which, if anybody is going to day trade anything, you have to ride or die on your required return.
Yep.
If your required return is 15%,
mm-hmm.
The second you make 50%, you gotta freaking sell. You gotta not look back. Because I mean, I did the same thing. I've done it multiple times. It's been, you know, you sit there and watch it, and it's like, how greedy are you gonna get?
Yep.
And
the next day, it's gone.
Right.
Or the next week, not everything is like split second, but it's just like making and hold in that decision.
Right. Yeah.
Buy and hold.
Which I guess, and then you gotta decide. First, gotta decide if it's long or short term.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Like, hey, I think freaking Tesla's a fad. I'm gonna buy this for 2 years. Sell it after 2. Who knows?
Right. So, I don't know. We'll see. I just think there's too much invested in the technology of blockchain that eventually we would not go one way or the other. Like, even if there's a coin that was just US dollar coin, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be a blockchain act, and it's going to run off the same type of platform.
Yeah. It's so tough. I don't know. It's kind of just too big of a question mark for me, honestly. I think it's great. But I just don't know, and I don't think it's Bitcoin's fault, like you said. I just don't. Maybe the institutional investors getting into it a little bit, or the like just general public all of a sudden hitting that wave, with not necessarily the media's fault, but definitely played a role. But I guess you can make an argument that for any stock or anything really.
Right, yeah. Well, like anything, right? Education is the big thing. People just need to be educated. You can say that about politics.
Yeah, and I don't want to sit here on my high horse because I didn't lose any money, but I also didn't gain any money from Bitcoin. So.
But, yeah.
That's crazy.
Can't win if you don't play.
Exactly, and worst comes to worst, you lose a few thousand dollars and you learned a good lesson and you can say you tried. I don't know. Probably going to be a cool story 20 years from now. Hey, remember when Bitcoin was going wild? Yeah, I lost like $2,000, but it's kind of fun. So, other than that, what is your... I've been seeing some LinkedIn posts. I see on Instagram, maybe. You put a little entrepreneur in the bio.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I should put that in there or not.
So, what's your...
I kind of feel general? Like, you know, the basic... So, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Vee. Probably nobody's ever heard of him.
No.
Anyways. he talked about that fake entrepreneurship, and I feel like that is such a real thing in
college. It is. Well, for sure.
I feel like it was the, you know, the, like, Starbucks is to basic girls, right?
Yep.
It's everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, and it's easy as putting it in your Instagram bio.
Yeah.
Might Dennis Crow at Crow Outdoors Instagram for anybody listening.
Hold on. It's not just at Crow Outdoors though. It's at Crow _0 doors outdoors. Yeah. There we go. Find him on Instagram. He caught a gnarly fish that I don't know what that is.
It's a walleye.
I have 27 inches. Didn't measure, though, so fake news, probably about round down 13.
Fake news, round it down.
Fake news, round down for safety. Anyhow, carry on with the entrepreneur at Crow Outdoors with a 0 for the O.
Yeah, and so I just think why not? There's a talking point, if anything else.
Why know? Not, yeah.
Well, am I? I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I was just curious, and I wasn't doing it to call you out, because I obviously listened to plenty of Gary Vee, and yeah, he always, and I get those, like, all those people, but I think you just putting it in your bio is not a huge deal at all, because I think I see the big trends on Instagram is like those talking to my camera angry, kind of like the Gary Vee style, or like posting like graphics. It's like, do this, do this, do this. It's like, okay, like, you're not like an entrepreneur. You're like a fake, you seem like a fake social or public speaker, right? Or motivational speaker.
Right. And if anybody watches Gary Vee, that's not what he promotes at all.
Look at this.
He promotes...
This is one of my most recent followers. Freaking entrepreneur, owner, patience, like all that shit. Easy find. For one of my followers. Easy. Carry on.
Anybody that you know, listens to Gary Vee, he's all about just document. Mm-hmm. Document what you love to do.
Yep.
That's all. That's all it is. It's not...
I agree.
It's not just trying to go out and pose as something that you're not, that's for sure. Because you'll get called out for that before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not here in the Midwest. We're too nice for that, but...
Yeah, you said sorry when I just, like, cut you off.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, I know, right?
See, now you're apologizing again.
Too nice.
No, I agree. I mean, I think I don't try to fully buy into Gary Vee, but that's so, totally the trend. Like I said, I just scroll through here and I just found somebody who did that. Homes by Robin, real estate. All right. I'm giving several plugs here. That's a photographer. All right. Well, that makes sense. Auto Scout, car dealership. All right. Well, it's not as common, but I do see it a lot. And like you said, like, are you an entrepreneur or what? But, like, going back to yours, I mean, you have it in the bio. It's not like you're doing anything right now that's, like, that public speaky social media motivator. Like, everyone's like a social media mogul. Like, okay. Right. Okay. Are you, though? Like, Gary Vee is, because that's literally his company. Like, multi-million dollar company, so...
Right, but I mean, I don't think I even have to speak to that extent.
No, not at all.
Like what he like he promotes too. He says, "Well, if you're truly dedicated to," he talks about the hustle a lot or the grind, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he doesn't care. He doesn't care how much, or it doesn't matter how much you hustle or grind. Air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not making any money. He Correct. Says if you're really dedicated to it, what you would do is go out to the Facebook or go out to the Craigslist free stuff.
Oh, and his flip challenge.
Yeah, and then go to, I heard him say that, and I was like, well, you know, I kind of, you know, definitely agree with you there. And I definitely think people go away from the whole buying and selling, and they think that they have to create like the newest and best version of, you know, for anything, like the next Uber for bikes, or the next Uber for cell phones, or the next.
Yep. Nope. I totally agree. However, like flipping, I don't know, like, do I want to be a yard sale? What am I, a picker? No. You know?
That's just personality, though. If buying and selling is your thing, buying and selling is your thing.
Oh, for sure.
Photography is your thing, so you go take some pictures.
Double down.
That's your thing.
I know. I just, on the topic of that, I just ordered a monitor. I ordered a desk. Got this fancy mic. We're getting there. I got an LG something rather, 4K, something crazy.
Wow, is it curved?
27 inch, nah. What did I don't know, it was almost $300.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't go cheap.
Decent then.
Yeah, it's good.
It's 4K though. It's for your pictures, you gotta have good quality.
So yeah, that's the thing. LG 27UD59P-P. I don't know. It was nice. But, like you said, no, I got it off Bydig. Some shout out to Bydig. I don't know. Not like it. Like, I love how we're like, shout out to this. Like, nobody's going to fucking follow us. Those idiots. But, no, so one of my friends is like, he was his ex-boyfriend was actually a competitive League of Legends player. So he's just kind of been in like the gaming sphere. He was a manager for their team, and he's like kind of a gamer, really smart guy. So I like, and he's like really good at finding deals. So I just put him on the quest to find a monitor. Sure enough, one day he's like, he just asked me a couple general questions. Like, what are you looking to spend? I'm like, obviously I don't want to go cheap, but I'm not going to spend a grand on this thing. Like, so yeah, like, I don't want to go cheap though, because editing pictures is you need like a good screen for that, so
right.
Yeah, so it'll be nice. I'm excited.
I'm looking at these monitors now. I'm jealous. I want one.
Did you get it? Do you want me to read it down, write it or read it to you?
Wait, what is it? LG 27 what?
27UD59P-B. It's a 2017 model.
Small baller. Couldn't get
Yeah, so I'm just a small baller out here. I haven't made a single dollar from photography, which is okay. Patience. I'm enacting that Gary V patience. Just eat shit for 20 years, as he would say. So I'm just eating my manure right now. I'm just...
That's right.
No, I... Honestly, I really haven't done anything proactive for it. So, like, I'm thinking now with, and I still don't know how proactive I'll be, but like, kind of one of my hindrances, like we talked that one day, is like not really having any place great to edit, or like editing right on my small screen isn't ideal necessarily. So, right. Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure you talked to anybody in that realm. That's a big thing probably, is you need a good workspace.
Yep, good workspace. It's like, well, I'm editing in my bed, which as comfy as it is, it's just not super conducive. So we'll see. Yeah, it's just not as precise.
And $600, and you say 50%.
I don't know.
It's not as what?
I bought it for $274 on Buydig.
Wow.
I don't know where you're looking.
It's $299.
Yeah.
Buydig.com.
Yeah, on Buydig, and then there's like a coupon. So it's like $25 off or whatever. But yeah.
Wow.
It,
I have all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah. He said it was legit. He said he's ordered stuff off of it before, like, no problem. He just says it's not as convenient, and, like, they normally run decent deals, but he's also not in the market to buy shit all the time, so it's like, whatever, you know? But, yeah.
Yeah, that's usually what you need in order to buy stuff all the time. You have to be in the market for it.
Yeah, you gotta be in the market to buy. You gotta, to win, you gotta play. So, we'll see. I'm excited. So, what are you, what's the Crow Outdoors status? You recording, you getting a camera, you getting anything, or you just shooting the breeze?
Well, I think, like we talked about, I think the cell phone thing is, it's raw. It gets the people going. They like it. Gotta keep it. Can't get too fancy on them.
Yeah, don't get too fancy.
So we're just gonna let it ride here for a little while. I'm gonna try to get out turkey hunting this weekend and see how it goes. And you know, I'm probably, you know, I, no expectations. I'm not gonna go out there and reinvent the wheel. Tell you that.
Yeah, it was already made once. Why make it again?
Absolutely.
No, that's a good idea. That's good. Get it rolling.
So, yeah. I don't know. I enjoy it, so that's why I do it.
Half the battle. So. That's also partially why I haven't, maybe this is excuses, but monetized some of the photography. It's just like, I don't know how much fun that would be. But I won't know unless I try. So,
that's right.
We'll see.
Very true. I'm in the market for some wireless headphones, so that's what I'm looking at now.
Yeah, me too. Probably actually maybe not after I just spent $300 on a monitor. But I would recommend the Bose ones. I tried those on. Or Apple AirPods, people love.
That's because they're Apple.
No. Even Apple, not haters, but like non-fanboys like them. Or, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. They're just super practical.
Power Beats 3, I'm thinking.
Those are nice.
But they're probably expensive just because it has the Beats logo on it.
Yeah, they're nice, though. My dad and brother have the 2s or whatever, I think. They're okay. Super nice. So, I would recommend those as well. But yeah, like you said, the price, I don't know. I have Plantronics from like 3 or 4 years ago. Those are super nice. They don't sound the best, but they don't sound bad. And then I also have Jaybirds. I have the Jaybird X3s, and I can't get those to stay in my ears for the life of me. And I also don't know where they are right now, but I don't really care. So
that's the thing with me.
I wouldn't recommend those.
Because I sweat so much and that gets loose.
I would definitely recommend like the over-ear thing then, like the Beats or the Plantronics. So.
Yeah. So no to the AirPods.
See, those do fit in your ears so well. They like hook in there though. It's just like the regular Apple headphones, but.
I would just hate to spend $150 on them for them to come out of my ear and then not be able to return them.
Yeah, I think your best bet's probably the Bose or something of the like.
Yeah,
or not the Bose, the Beats. Sorry, the Beats. Because yeah, those go over your ear.
Yeah. And they seem like they're pretty sweat-proof, which is good for a large individual like myself.
Large and in charge, yeah. Do you have a gym membership? Do you have a gym at work?
Not at work. Well, yeah, so there's a gym in IBM, but IBM does not
run it.
Somebody else does. So I work out at Planet Fitness with Corey.
Nice.
Yeah. He grinded out there. It's judgment free zone. So
that's good. That's what you need. I have we get a discounted gym pass from this place or whatever. It's right across the street from my office. So I go there. It's only $15 a month.
There you go.
Yeah, it's nice.
So you get a nice pool or sauna in there.
Steam room, but I never use it. Oh. It's okay. Eucalyptics. Yeah.
Sounds quite nice.
It is pretty nice, but all right, shall we?
Well, we're coming up on an hour, so we gotta cut it off.
We'll cut it off.
So,
not that I don't want to keep talking, but I'm yawning. I also want to finish my book. So,
what book are you gonna read?
I'm reading The Cartel by Don Winslow. It's good. You would probably like it.
Okay.
It's a long one, though. It's almost 800 pages. It's a long one.
That's a decent-sized book.
Substantial. It's a quick read, though. It's not like the Game of Thrones books that are just fucking grinds.
Right.
They're good, but they're a grind. But yeah, I'm 30 pages, I think, 20 pages, so I'm going to try to crank it out.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just fine.
Ooh, so yeah.
I guess that's a good way to end. We're all yawning.
Yawning? And we're yawning.
Whoever listens to this, probably he's going to listen to it at night.
Probably nobody.
After hearing us yawn.
Hopefully somebody falls asleep to our wonderful voices.
Anybody who listens to this is going to be connected with us anyways, and so if you're connected, they're going to yawn too.
Yeah. It's all about the love and connections.
That's right.
Peace, love, and positivity.
Big time.
All right, let me stop this recording. I will.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.